This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 5. Namo Vijnana Viryaya.
Namo Vijnana Viryaya.
Maya Yedam Upeyuse.
Maya Yedam Upeyuse.
Grihita Guna Vedaya. Namaste Vyaktayonaye. Namo Vijnana Viryaya. Translation. O original source of strength and scientific knowledge, all obeisances unto you. You have accepted all the differentiated mode of passion. You have accepted the differentiated mode of passion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With the help of external energy, you are born of the unmanifested source. All obeisances unto you. Translation, please repeat. O original source of strength and scientific knowledge.
All obeisances unto you.
You have accepted the differentiated mode of passion
from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
With the help of the external energy, you are born of the unmanifested source.
All obeisances unto you.
Purport. The Vedas are the original scientific knowledge for all departments of understanding. And this knowledge of the Vedas was first impregnated into the heart of Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Brahma is the original source of all scientific knowledge. He is born directly from the transcendental body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who is never seen by any creature of this material universe and therefore always remains unmanifested. Brahma is stated here to be born of the unmanifested. He is the incarnation of the mode of passion in material nature, which is the separated external energy of the Supreme Lord. Namo Vijnana Viryaya Maya Yedam Upeyushe Grita Guna Vedaya Namaste Vyaktayonaye. Translation, O original source of strength and scientific knowledge. All obeisances unto you. You have accepted the differentiated mode of passion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With the help of the external energy, you are born of the unmanifested source. All obeisances unto you. So these are the prayers. These are the prayers of the demigods to Lord Brahma. It's like in yesterday's also, Deva, Deva, Jagat, Datu, Lokanath, Shikamane, Parishama, Parishamtam, Buddhanama, Shiva. Very nice prayers offered by the demigods to Lord Brahma. Generally, the system, when something is out of the control of the devas, they approach Lord Brahma for help. Just like in anything in this world, you try to take care of things yourself, but sometimes there are many things that go on, out of your control. You don't have the power. You don't have the power to do anything. So therefore, you have to go to someone else who is you're in a superior position, who is more powerful. Just like in the past also, the small kingdoms or the king or the leader, the president of the small country, going on today also, is threatened by a bigger country. So that country is more powerful than his country. So therefore, he may go for the assistance and make an alliance with another big country. So with the other big country or many countries, they can withhold the attack from the other one. So in history, we have in the material world also like that, where, when you have to take help from someone else. So the demigods, they could see this very powerful influence, the pregnancy of Diti, within them. Her husband told her, actually, within your womb there's some asuras are there, and they will be the ones born from your womb, and they are very, very powerful. And when she heard that from her husband Kashyapa, she didn't want to give birth. And Prabhupada explains that naturally she is a demigoddess. Her husband is Kashyapa Muni. And naturally she doesn't want to give birth to asuras. So therefore, she, you know, with her own power. Normally this is for a human lady. It's not within her power. When the baby comes, the baby comes. But, you know, in the higher planets, they have a lot of power. So she was able to keep the children within her womb and without taking birth. But actually, this was causing disturbance in the universe. And everyone felt the darkness. It was like a darkness. So I think this description is given. Everyone felt the darkness spreading everywhere. And they knew also, just like Kashyapa knew, and he told his wife that in your womb is some asuras, and she was keeping them. I don't know what her exact thinking was, whether she would keep them forever and ever and ever inside there. But there was a darkness. So all the demigods knew the situation. They were becoming even more powerful in the womb. And so they knew this was out of their control. And now they're approaching Lord Brahma and they're offering prayers to him. He is a very exalted personality. Very, very exalted personality. You see, the reverence of the demigods, who they themselves are very exalted. Demigods like Indra and Chandra and Agni and Vayu, all the chief demigods, and then there are lesser. But they're very exalted. They're offered worship. They're offered prayers. But you see their mood in front of Lord Brahma. You see their mood. They are very reverential. He is the first created being. So, Deva Deva Jagatdhatu, O God of the demigods, his address, God of the demigods, sustainer of the universe, head jewel of the demigods and other planets, you know the intentions of all living entities. Now, someone very powerful like Lord Brahma, he has got all knowledge. He is cognizant. Actually, we were reading in one class I was giving that, you know, the living entities, Krishna has 50 qualities like patience, tolerance, mercy, gentleness, expertise. And he has 50 qualities that he has unlimitedly. Now, the jivas can have these qualities. If they become perfect, they can have all these qualities, not unlimitedly like the Supreme Personality of God, but to some extent. Now, personalities like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they have 5 extra qualities. And one of them is all cognizant, all knowing. Lord Brahma, as one of these, he's all knowing. He knows everything by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, of course, they get their powers from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially in his Paramatma feature, is everywhere. So therefore, he knows everything. So if they're in communication with the Supreme Personality, they can know all things. They know the intentions, they know what is going on. Lord Brahma is mentioned here. It is said here, the last, Namaste Vyakta Yonaye Grita Guna Bedaya. Especially this last, Namaste Vyakta Yonaye. He is manifested from the unmanifest. He is manifested from the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. We know that from the navel of the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu grows the lotus flower, the lotus stem and the lotus flower. And Lord Brahma, he is born on top of that lotus flower, which is the petals are spread in all the directions. And then he comes to life. He doesn't know his origin. Even Lord Brahma doesn't know his origin at that point. At that point, he doesn't know his origin. He is wondering, what is the situation? He goes down inside. He looks all around. He can't see anything. And he goes back down into the whirl of the lotus, tries to go the stem, goes though, still can't find the source. So, interestingly enough here, these words, avyakta, jhana, the source of Lord Brahma, is unmanifested. And Prabhupada, very interestingly, he says here, Brahma is born of the unmanifested. He is born of the transcendental body of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is never seen by any creature of this material universe, and therefore always remains unmanifested. Very interesting comment by Prabhupada. Because actually, no one sees the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, we know that in the spiritual realm, Paravyoma, is the spiritual sky. Many, many unlimited Vaikuntha planets are there, and you go to the further to the Ayodhya, and you go to the Krishna Goloka, higher. And in one corner, there's Mahata. Then in there, the Mahavishnu enters. So many universes are coming from him. And in each universe, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He lies on the causal ocean. And from him, Lord Brahma comes. Now, as far as Garbhadakshaya, even though he is lying at the bottom of the universe, he is unseen. And Prabhupada actually states it very clearly here. He is not seen by any creature in the universe. No one can see him. Even Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma can't see him. He tried to see. He couldn't find the end of the lotus. Some mystical thing. He went down and down and down and down for so long, he still couldn't come to the end of it. So even Lord Brahma doesn't see. I remember many years before, one devotee did a painting of, you may have seen it, I don't know if it's still in print, but we got the painting of Lord Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, and then looking, and when you look down, underneath was Lord Vishnu. A proper comment, he said, this is not correct, because who is above Lord Brahma who is looking down like that? That was his comment. Lord Brahma is in the topmost part of the universe, so the artist has drawn, we're looking down. Artist has drawn like that. Artist has drawn that we are looking down on top of Lord Brahma to the lotus, and then underneath him is the Mahavishnu, is the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So who is looking, who is that person who is looking down like that? I remember when we first got there, we thought, oh, it's a very nice painting, but then Prabhupada said that, oh yeah, we never thought of that. Who is looking down like that? Because so even Lord Brahma himself doesn't see, so no one sees the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Even they go with their spaceships and they go try to go, now they say they went to the moon, and then now they're going to the Mars, and now they want to go to some Jupiter or something else. But even if they could go everywhere, still they wouldn't see. Even Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is there in the bottom of the universe. But even if they were to go, they wouldn't. He is unmanifest. He is not visible to the ordinary eyes. And Lord Brahma has his source in the unmanifest, avyakta, jhanaye. He is the source from the avyakta. The avyakta is, although he is there, but not manifest to the ordinary eyes. No one in this universe can see him. So when Lord Brahma, of course, the demigods are offering their prayers to Lord Brahma, and then generally Lord Brahma, he goes to the shores of the Svetadvip, and he offers prayers to the Kiradakshaya Vishnu. That Kiradakshaya Vishnu, sometimes he is seen. He manifests him. He allows himself to be seen. But the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's not seen. You understand? So this is a very interesting point made by Prabhupada. I noted it when I read that, this particular section. So very interestingly, the demigods, they are offering a prayer like that. So that means they understand the position. They understand that Lord Brahma's source, they understand the source of Lord Brahma, and they understand that actually he has come from the unmanifested and no one can see that Vishnu, but they understand that he is there. And how did Lord Brahma understand? He couldn't understand his source, but Teni Brahmarida, this prophet refers to. He actually, it is mentioned in the third canto, that he came back up on top of the lotus flower, and he was still wondering, what is the source of everything? How has all this come about? And then he heard some vibration. And it is mentioned that the vibration came from the Garbhodak ocean lapping onto the lotus stem. The waves were coming, and it made a sound like ta, pa, ta, pa, ta, pa. The waves were coming. Ta, pa. The sound came like that. So then Lord Brahma understood, I have to do the tapasya. I have to go into the meditation. So when he went into the meditation, then he was enlightened from within. Jan madhya se ayatun vayat itaratas chachubika svarat tene brahma ridaye kavaye muyanti atsuraya. So this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jan madhya se ayatun vayat. Tene brahma ridha adi kavaye. Tene brahma ridha. So within his own, when he went and did tapasya within his own heart, he was enlightened, and he is the adi kavaye. He is the original person, Lord Brahma. So Prabhupada mentions that he is addressed almost like the personality of Godhead. He is the father. Lord Brahma is the father of all. Of course, his father is the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He doesn't have ordinary mother. He is a very unusual birth. He doesn't have mother. Or you could say in one sense the Prakriti is his mother. But his father is the unmanifested one. So he is Deva Deva. He is the God of the gods. And they are addressing him. And so they have approached him and they're offering prayers. And so they're very respectful. They're very humble. This is the way you approach the superiors. Superiors have to be, one has to be very humble. We were just reading that Lord Brahma, in the process of creation, later on, and in Perth, I was just in Perth, and that section also in the third canto a little bit later on. Oh no, actually a little bit before. The process where Lord Brahma was enthused and infused with the power virya, in his word, namo vijnana. He knows vijnana. He has the knowledge. He's infused with the knowledge and virya, the power for creation. This is the position of Lord Brahma. So, the first ones he created, who were the first ones he created? The Kumaras. The four Kumaras. Now, first of all, he created the five Nessian activities. Fear of death, anger after frustration, self-deception. There were five Nessian principles that he created. This he had to create to make an atmosphere for the conditioned souls, so they can, in illusion, enjoy separately from Krishna. So he created these atmospheres, and then, but he didn't feel very good about it, because he is Lord Brahma. So he wanted to counteract that, and he created four principles of knowledge. He created yoga, sankhya, vairagya, and tapasya. So to counteract the five Nessian activities, he created the four principles of the knowledge. Understand? Yoga, Sankhya, Tapasya, Vairagya. And he entrusted this, then he created the four Kumaras. And then he entrusted these four principles to the four Kumaras. Because, alright, I've created the Nessian activities, but how the living entities can overcome, I have to create the principles of the knowledge. So he entrusted to the Kumara. So the Kumaras appeared as just young boys. Sanat Kumara, Sanandan, Sanak, Sanatan, just young boys, just like young students, they appeared. And then Lord Brahma said, now I give you these principles of knowledge, you are to teach these, and also I want you to help populate the universe. because Lord Brahma was infused with the power to for the creation. So the planetary systems, everything, and then he had to populate the universe to fulfill the desire of the Supreme Personality, to make an arrangement for the living entities to live separately from him. That's the desire of the living entity. So all these things were put into place under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana, and actually all the Puranas, I've written quite a few of the Puranas, they all have a section on creation and how everything comes in the sequence. Pretty much every Purana is like that. In some section, they were pretty much in the beginning, they have the creation, the whole sequence of creation. And it's sometimes a little bit different to describe because there's different creations and different days of Brahma and all this type of thing. I just notice a little bit different sometimes. So this was the situation. So he said, help populate the universe. In other words, become grihasthas and become family men and have so many children and help me populate the universe. But the Kumaras, they didn't want to follow the instruction of their father and because they wanted to not be entangled in their worldly life. They were self-realized souls. So Lord Brahma became a bit frustrated with them. Here's the order of the father, Lord Brahma, the original creator, and they're not following it. You know, still in Indian culture, I don't know about Western culture, you know, the sons follow the father so much anymore, but in Indian culture still, that culture is there, that, you know, the sons are very respectful to the father. The father says something, the son should follow it. That is the culture. But here we have a situation where the Kumaras refused to follow the instruction of their father, the great Lord Brahma. So the sages explain, and the acharyas explain, in one sense they were wrong. This is Lord Brahma, this is their father, creator, and they are disobeying him. It's very bad. But they're disobeying him for what? For the higher cause. For the higher cause. So if someone wants to go to the higher cause, serve the Supreme Father. I mean, after all, who is the father of Lord Brahma? He is the Supreme Father. So someone who is for the higher cause can neglect the lower cause. For the greater thing, the smaller thing can be neglected. Because with the greater thing, all the purposes of the smaller thing are accomplished. If you may have some bills, oh, they add up to $10,000. Oh, we have to take care of them. But if you go after something, if you go after some money that can make $10 million, why will you worry about trying to make $10,000? I've got bills, $10,000. There's an opportunity here. Let me follow that. I can make the $10,000 to pay my bill. But if you've got opportunity to make the $10 million, you'll go there. Because automatically the $10,000 automatically, and so many other things will become. So Krishna, he is the Supreme. So you go from now in the family, you go from the little family to the big family of the world. Prabhupada said that one time. He said, I have left my small family and now I'm with the big family of the world. Before I was serving my family, but for the higher cause. And Prabhupada actually mentions in the one purport, and this is the third canto, that he says, for the higher cause, the sons can neglect the order of the father. And they are not wrong. One side they are wrong, but actually they are not wrong, because it's the higher cause. And so also too, Prabhupada said, the father can neglect the maintenance of the sons if it's for the higher cause. It's for the higher cause. So Prabhupada, even though he didn't get all the family members married or anything like that, he left the home and he took up spreading the Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said, for the higher cause, we have our little family, and normally one is obligated. Devashi putapta ninam pitinam na kinkanarayam unichana. One is obligated to the ancestor, the forefathers. They've worked very hard, given us the property, the house, the whole town. They've worked. We owe them. We're obligated to them. The demigods give us light, they give us air, give us water. All these to our parents, to our relatives. We're obligated in so many ways. But if one is serving the higher cause, then all the obligations, you don't have to worry. Your supreme obligation is to the Supreme Personality of God. So when one pleases Krishna, then all other obligations are taken care of automatically. So Lord Brahma was a bit frustrated with the Kumaras, and he became a little angry with them. But he didn't manifest the anger. He kept it within. And Prabhupada explains that the great Lord Brahma, he controlled his anger because he knew that the Kumaras were self-realized souls. Prabhupada says this, it is not good to manifest anger in front of the self-realized souls or superiors. It's not good. One should restrain themselves. So he restrained himself. And so the Kumaras didn't take up, but later on, of course, the anger came out in a mixed form of blue and yellow. It came out as Lord Rudra. So one should always be respectful, and such was the situation with the demigods. They're very, very respectful to Lord Brahma. They approach him very humbly. So this is the way to please the superiors. This is the way actually to please the Supreme Personality of God. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God, without the mercy of the superiors like the gurus, the sages, and respectable persons like Lord Brahma, and of course the devas, and of course, you know, mother and father, without their best wishes and blessings, one cannot make very good advancement in life. One cannot. When you displease, don't think you can. You know, some, of course, some people, they do anything and everything to make some money. They treat everyone very badly, and for temporarily they may get some benefit, but it'll all disappear in time. See? So here it is said that this knowledge, the Vedas, it is very scientific. You are the source of all knowledge. Now Prabhupada speaks of the Vedas. The Vedas are the original scientific knowledge. The Vedas were imparted by the Supreme Personality of God to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, of course, to all others. And I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada right in the early 1966, where Prabhupada said, just like the Vedas is the book of the knowledge. Book of the knowledge, just like he said, just like in every country, there's the book of the knowledge, especially the religious knowledge. He said, just like in your country, you're speaking in America, you have the Bible. And other countries, like the Muslims, they have the Quran. And the Hindus, they have the Veda. But this is the book of the knowledge. How to live in the world, how to regulate your life. Prabhupada said like this. How to regulate your life so then you can become civilized human beings. The Veda is meant to regulate your life in so many ways so you follow some moral principles and you become civilized human beings. So the Veda is like that. The Bible will be like that. The Torah will be like that. The Quran will be like that. It's meant to whatever situation. He said that different books, great books, are they according to the country, according to the time, according to the population? They'll be different according to the nature of the people. Somehow or other, God will make arrangement that some great book of instruction will be there for those particular people. He said in India, there is the Veda. The Veda deals with all the different departments of the knowledge, especially how to live in the world, in the Vana and the Ashrama system, and what functions one should try to follow, what ceremonies, what samskaras, all these types of things are mentioned in the Veda. What are sacrifices, worship of the devas, worship of the forefather, all these things. But ultimately, Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nischa Guna Bhavajuna Nidvanvo Nitya Sattvaso Niyoga Chemadvan. Vedas mainly deal with the modes of nature. They mainly deal Yamimam Pushpitamba Veda Vatarata. They mainly deal with the different ceremonies and all these things, elevation to the higher planets. Ultimately, Krishna tells Arjuna, one should rise up and come to the Upashanakanda, you know, this Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upashanakanda. Come to the essence of the Veda, which is the Aham Brahmasmi. This is the essence. All, so many instructions, vast knowledge in the Veda. But the essence, Aham Brahmasmi, Upashanakanda. People get distracted by the other things. But Upashanakanda is the essence. And if one goes to the essence, Aham Brahmasmi, and engages in the spiritual practice, this is the perfection of the Vedas. Vedascham eva Vedantikin Veda Vedavid. I am. The Veda comes from me, Krishna says. So Krishna tells that rise above the modes of nature, Vedas mainly deal, and come to the spiritual position. So these Vedas come from Lord Brahma. The essence of the Vedas also comes from Lord Brahma. And the Veda is very, and Prabhupada uses this word scientific very, a lot. And so people, you know, it's similar to the usage of scientific and different simultaneously. Just like in science, you may have a theory, postulate, or you may go to the laboratory, and or something like that, and you experiment, and you develop different formulas, and then you do like that, and then certain result will be there. And from that, the formula is there, and you try it again many times, and then the same result will come. So this is very scientific. Experiment, action it, and then with a certain formula, and then the result will be there. So, and if everyone follows that formula, every time the result will be like that. So this is generally scientific. So also the Veda is like that. If one understands, and then it's not so much experimentation, that part of it, but if one receives the knowledge and puts it into practice, the result will be there. So in that sense, it's scientific. Just follow it. So therefore, Prabhupada would use this word scientific. Except don't experiment, just follow it. See, that's the difference between the modern day. Don't want to experiment and go here, go all over. But we don't experiment, we just follow. We follow the formula. The formula is already given. But just follow the formula. If you follow the formula, then you'll get the result. So therefore, it's very scientific. Understand? So therefore, the demigods, well, Prabhupada uses this word specifically, vijnana virya. Scientific, all knowledge, all virya, all strength, all is with you. You are Lord Brahma. So they offer their prayers in that way. Now, also mentioned here is the differentiated form, differentiated mode of passion. He is born. That is the energy coming from Krishna, but now it's differentiated, it's separated from Krishna, and it works in a certain way. Creation needs passion. Under the influence of the Rajaguna, Lord Brahma is creating, actioning. So that is, actioning is very much, especially in that way, is very much under Rajaguna. So Lord Brahma is overseeing Rajaguna, sometimes a little affected by Rajaguna also. So therefore Lord Shiva came, he is very much controlling, overseeing Tamaguna. And of course Lord Vishnu, he is the maintainer, he is overseeing the Sattvaguna. So these gunas acting. So this is also referred to as Lord Brahma. So it's a very nice verse here from the Bhagavatam. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the month of Kartik is very, very auspicious. Of course we are devotees at the temple. We're very fortunate that every day we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day we're seeing the deity. Every day we're getting up early, having bath. But it's an opportunity for us to even increase more. Now, it mentioned in the description of the Kartik month and the benefits of Kartik month is like if one rises early in the morning, takes the bath, goes to the temple, sees the lords. These are the things prescribed for the Kartik month. If one does like that, I was just looking at the young boys there lighting the candles this morning. Now, it is also the description that anyone who even lights the candles for the others during the month of the Kartik That person attains the result of performing many Rajasuya Yajnas and many Ashwamedha Yajnas just by lighting the candle for the others. I see. So now, also today is the appearance of Radhakund. Today is Radhakund appearance, and what is it? Snandana and Bahulastami. Now, Bahulastami, of course, is on the eighth waning of the moon, eighth day. Today is the eighth day, Bahulastami. And appearance. You know that story of the appearance of Radhakund, Shyamakund. You know, when Krishna fought with the who is that bull? Aristasura, the Aristasura bull. He killed the demon in the form of the bull, who was Aristasura. Of course, then he wanted to go and be with Srimati Radharani and engage in loving affairs with Srimati Radharani. But then Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they said, "Oh no, we cannot associate with you. You are contaminated from the sin of killing the bull. The bull is the principle of the Dharma, and you have killed the bull. So we cannot associate with you. You have to purify yourself by bathing in the holy rivers. Then we can associate with you." So then Krishna, he just dug his heel into the ground. He created one big area. And then he called all the holy rivers to come there. All the holy rivers personified came with their hands folded like this and ready to offer. And he said, "Come inside in this. I've created this area here. You come inside and fill it. Then I can bathe in your waters, because Srimati Radharani has asked me to purify myself." So then he bathed. And then he came out. And then he said to, "Well, now I can't associate with you," he said, "because you have sided with a demon, Aristasura, so you are contaminated. So now I can't associate with you. Unless you also bathe in the holy rivers, so I cannot associate with you." "You cannot bathe in mine, because I have left all the sins here." So therefore, Radharani and all the gopis, they broke their bangles and they started to scratch the ground and made a big, deep hole, big pond. And then Krishna laughed, "Ha ha, yes, you made like that, but there's no water. So what will you do about that?" And so Radharani and the gopis, they went to Manasi Ganga and got some pots and made a big long line, and they were passing the pots of water from each other like that, and then starting to fill that pond. So then all the holy rivers again personified, they came and they bowed to Srimati Radharani and asked, "Please, can we enter your pond?" So she allowed like that. So in this way, Radhakund was created. We had the Radhakund and Shyamakund. So this Radhakund, the appearance day of Radhakund today, actually she appeared at Radhakund appeared at midnight. And traditionally, if you've ever been to Vrindavan, to Radhakund, Shyamakund, if you're on this day, traditionally everyone goes at midnight. Snandan means that, yes, they come there, they offer the prasadam into the Radhakund, and they offer garlands, and they offer the gourds with the candle. You ever seen? With the candle. And they do that at midnight, packed out, midnight. And then after that, then they go for the snan. They do the bathing. So anyone who does the bathing at Radhakund on today, they will get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani. They get the mercy of Srimati. And by getting the mercy of Srimati Radharani, automatically you will get the mercy of Sri Krishna. So today is a very special day also, because it's Leela. Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said that, above Vaikuntha, which is the spiritual abode, the abode of the Lord Narayan, above that is Mathura, because the Lord took birth there. And above Mathura is the Vrindavan and the forest of Vrindavan, because many Leelas, especially Ras Leela, goes there. But above Vrindavan, forest and Vrindavan, is Govardhan, Because Lord Krishna held up, Govardhan, next week, isn't it? The Govardhana Puja. He held up Govardhan, and the Govardhan had the touch of the Supreme Personality of God. But above Govardhan is Radhakund. Because Radhakund is the mercy manifestation of Srimati Radharani. So today is a very special day, called Kartik month, very wonderful opportunity to offer lamps. Anyone who offers lamps, if one offers lamps during this month, then so much, millions of times more benefit is there than just any other time. This month is very dear to Srimati Radharani. Kartik, she is the goddess of Kartik month, Srimati Radharani. She's the goddess of the Kartik and month of Damodar. And so that's why we say Radha Damodar. Of course, the Leela was with Mother Jasoda, but we always say Radha Damodar because actually this month, because that pastime was in the Kartik month, and Radharani is, because so many Leelas are in this month, and between Radha and Krishna. So this is her favorite month, and also the favorite month of Krishna. So very, very auspicious. You offer the lamp, you get so much benefit. Of course, as mentioned, if you offer lotus flowers, if you offer lotus flowers, you get the benefit of being favored by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi D. If you offer lotus flowers for the whole month of Kartik, Lakshmi will be with you for 100 births. Of course, the devotees, we take Lakshmi offer to Krishna. The materialists, you'll take the Lakshmi and want to engage in sense gratification. So many benefits of Kartik month. We're very lucky to be in the temple, and just naturally we come every day. One gets up early in the morning and attends the temple. And everything, you know, a little bit more, you know, reading, more chanting, more japa, more everything. You can do some vratas also, you know, to please the Supreme Personality of God. It sometimes is said, whatever your favorite food is, if for this month you go without, then that determination pleases Krishna. Oh, for my sake, he or she has sacrificed sweets, sacrificed savory, and they've done for my sake. So he's very pleased by that. So any vrata you want to do, havisya, you can just eat the gruel, the khichdi with no salt. We used to follow here. I remember so many times every year, all the devotees would just eating havisya. The havisya means the khichdi, but no spices, no salt, no nothing. That boiled. You take it once a day. That's all you eat. You have to eat off the floor. With no hands. Just like the cow. Because we did for a few years like that, I remember. And you had to do it with your hands tied behind your back. Not tied. Just your hands behind your back. Like we were eating like that. And the rule was that when you were eating, you couldn't look up. You have to just keep eating like the cow. And if you looked up, that's it, you couldn't eat anymore. If someone just said, Hari Bol Prabhu, and you looked up, can't have anymore. That's it for you. So I remember we used to actually clean the floor very nicely before, and then everyone would sit down and plump, 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 plump. Abhisyana. We did that for 2 or 3 years. Madhavisa, he made everyone do it, everyone follow it. But we did see some devotees sneaking out to the boga. You know, I found a boga in there one day. You know, we went to get some boga to offer some guests, and he was inside there eating the sweets. Anyway, so very glorious month of Kartik. One of those who were fortunate to be in Vrindavan. Prabhupada did say that Vrindavan is everywhere, Vrindavan is in your heart. You can, if you were here or there, it's still so beneficial. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.